We're here to learn more about the very interesting project that Cornell students have been dealing with for the past, I don't know how long, been here in Hudson dealing with the waterfront. And we're talking with, or going to be talking with Jonathan Lerner, who is the chairman of the
Conservation
Advisory Council.
Very good.
I had to be very careful because it was once called the Conversation Advisory Council. So, and once you've heard that, it's very hard to get it straight.
And so, she wanted to say that again because it got quite a chuckle at the meeting where Ellen
yes,
announced it.
That's true.
So, you know, never let a joke just go once. Right, Ellen?
That's right. But
three,
I've done
three
it
wells,
for the day.
Three
that's
wells,
it.
Three
that's
wells
it.
Come into a bar?
And
anyway.
Oh, that's the Hudson joke. Yeah. Yeah.
And
no,
who
we're
else
not
do we
going to tell that joke.
No, I know. Who else do we have here?
I was about to say.
I know you were.
Liz LeJudis is here from Cornell. And I'm not sure if you're from the Cornell Extension Program.
Yes, I'm from Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties.
What is that exactly?
Cornell Cooperative Extension is an arm of Cornell University. There is a land-grant college in every state in the United States. And the land-grant colleges have an arm established that is an outreach arm to interface with the residents of their states. So in the past, when land-grant colleges were developed in the late 1800s, cooperative extensions were really produced to serve farmers, to bring information from research-based information from the universities and colleges to farmers, and then to take the practical information that farmers had learned in the field back to the university researchers. And over the 20th and 21st century, our services have expanded. So there is a cooperative extension in every county of New York State. We're all affiliated with Cornell University. And the variety of services that we provide include, we continue to help farmers. We have our 4-H youth development program, which serves youth. We have a human services arm, which works with parents of children who are at risk of neglect or abuse. And we also have a nutrition education program for low-income people. And then we have a natural resource program area, which is where I work. And in Greene County, we have a facility called the Agroforestry Resource Center, where we teach about all aspects of the landscape, particularly the importance of forested landscapes to our water quality and quantity.
Wow. Do you collect data for researchers at Cornell as well?
We have a forest, 142-acre forest at the Agroforestry Resource Center. It's called the Siusla Model Forest. It is a model forest for the New York City Department of Environmental Protection, where we have Cornell researchers and other researchers conducting research, and we also provide demonstrations and education on growing crops in the shade of the forest canopy, which are agroforestry crops, and forest management and the ecology of forests. So
were you instrumental in suggesting to the Cornell landscape architecture professor that Hudson would be a good site to do their lab for the term?
I was. One of the hats that I wear is that I'm the coordinator for the Hudson Estuary Watershed Resiliency Project, which is a very long name, for a initiative that provides education and resources to municipalities in the Hudson Valley related to climate change and particularly related to flooding. And so I've been working with Josh Serra, who is the professor of landscape architecture who runs the Climate Adaptive Design Studio that we conducted in Hudson. I've been working with him for a few years now. And in the fall of 2015, we worked in Catskill with students designing the Catskill Creek waterfront for a variety of issues related to what Catskill would like to do. So some of what they designed there was related to connecting Main Street with the Catskill Creek, and then also thinking about sea level rise, because the Catskill Creek there is tidal, just like the Hudson River is. So how can Catskill better adapt to flooding and sea level rise issues, as well as their economic development?
So in both studios, the imperative was to consider the flood levels in the future.
Yes.
That was that was crucial to what they were supposed to plan or come up with, the plans they were supposed to come up with.
Yes.
It wasn't just a general design idea. It was also with this in mind.
That's one of the things that I think is so exciting about the Climate Adaptive Design Studio, is that the students are thinking about, which I think Jonathan can speak more to, the traditional landscape architecture considerations, but then as a layer on top of that, they're also thinking about the next 100 years and the changing climate and how that affects our, particularly our water resources.
So, Jonathan, how did the CAC get involved?
The CAC, the Conservation Advisory Council, wasn't formally involved. When the studio presented their work at the end of the previous semester in Catskill, I attended the presentation. And I did that. My day job is as a contributing editor to Landscape Architecture magazine, and I heard about this landscape studio, and I thought, oh, maybe there's an article for me to write. I went over there, and I heard at that time that Hudson was a possible next site for this studio in the succeeding semester, and that very day dragged Josh Serra, the professor, and everyone else who's involved with the project over here and showed them our South Bay waterfront. And it didn't take long for them to decide this was a great place to work.
And by work, you mean there were groups, how many students altogether?
I think there were 17 in the spring semester, working in eight teams of two or three. And the great thing about this is that these are master's degree students in landscape architecture, and they were given this charge of doing designs, development project ideas for the Hudson waterfront that respond to the potential risks of climate change and flooding and severe storms. But unlike real architects who have real clients in the real world and real budgets, they're free to imagine as much as they can possibly do. So it's a tremendous creative exercise for them as students. The thing that's really impressive to me about it is that while some of their ideas that people can see at the Opera House this next month, because they have their designs are on display there, some of their ideas are extremely ambitious and long-term, such as raising the Amtrak line 14 feet so that the trains can continue to run 100 from years from now. But some of the ideas are extremely doable and manageable and tangible and could be done tomorrow if we had the money to do them or the political will.
I was lucky enough to be invited to the first round where they consulted with local people. And actually, that was one of my questions. Are you going to call up Amtrak and find out what they think? Or do they have any plan for the future? Did anybody do that? Do you know?
I think that people have asked. It's actually CSX
that
owns the line. I think people have asked, and I think there's no information forthcoming.
Yeah.
But
it is inevitable, right?
Well, something's inevitable because the line's going to go underwater, but also that would be like a staggering infrastructure project. It's 150 miles of rail that has to be raised. So whether that ever really happens, I don't know. But it's the great thing about the Climate Adaptive Design Studio is that the students aren't constrained from imagining what really should be. And, for example, what really should be is that the rail line should be raised, mm-hmm. or maybe instead of rail, we need a high-speed ferry system. I don't know.
Did any of the Catskill proposals lead to any action?
I'm currently working with the Village of Catskill and their planning board, and Nancy Richards, who is a staff member at the Village of Catskill. We've looked at the designs. We did a training on some of the elements of the designs because they incorporate some climate adaptive techniques. So we did a training there for the planning board and other members of the government there to learn more about the designs and elements of the designs. And we're now moving towards some elements of the designs going into implementation. So we're working towards that, but it's probably going to be a several-year process.
Is there resistance in the form of people who don't believe it's going to happen?
That climate change is going to happen?
The river level is going to rise.
I know that there is skepticism in some circles, but we have not encountered that. With the stakeholders that we've been working with, it's generally people who are concerned, who know the waterways and can see changes that are happening now in both the temperature regime that we're under right now and also with the rising sea levels because the Hudson itself has risen. I should mention that this project was brought to our region through a partnership between Cornell University, obviously the Landscape Architecture Program, but also the New York State Water Resources Institute at Cornell. And they work very closely with the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation's Hudson River Estuary Program. And so it was through that partnership that we have been able to bring these forward-looking designers into the Hudson Valley. We'll actually be working with Kingston as well in the fall semester.
So this project is going to continue and in other communities as well as, is it going to continue in Hudson?
Well, it's over in Hudson in the sense that it was a class for a semester and the semester is over. And the results of that are what we can see at the Opera House this month. The doing of this kind of studio will continue. And I believe next fall is happening in Kingston. Is that right?
Yes.
We should make clear our listeners what you're referring to is at the Opera House, the designs that the students came up with will be on view. So you can come in and see some of these visionary ideas for the future of the Hudson waterfront. And I guess they're mostly on poster board and they're very creative and interesting. And there's text to go with them as well. Ellen, is there an opening involved?
There is an opening. The exhibition opening is from 4 to 6. Yeah. And
snacks?
He loves to give me an opening.
Wine? Ellen, you hear that?
I did hear that, yes. There's also going to be, will the students be there, any of them?
I don't believe that the students will be there, but the professor, Josh Sarah, will be there.
Great, because at the opening or the presentation that was at the library the other day for residents of Hudson and people involved in various committees, the students were there, and they were a very bright bunch of kids. They were adults, and they came up with absolutely wonderful ideas. I mean, I've always thought there should be a connection between Promenade Hill, which is at the foot of Warren Street, which is a very historic. Maybe someone said, I don't know if this is true, is the first place in the United States that was set aside because of its view and was cherished for that. But there's no way to get from Promenade Hill down to the rest of the waterfront. So a few years back, someone suggested an elevator. Mm-hmm. And one of the students had come up with that idea. I think, great minds think alike. So, and also, along with the raised railroad, there was a canal, two canals, I think, coming, allowing the water to come in from the river as a result of...
Well, to read that the South Bay is going to be a bay again. There's little chance that it won't be without, intervention. And it creates another problem at 9G, which is also very low, and that needs to be raised too. And you could have canals, you could have walkways. They came up with all kinds of great ideas.
Absolutely wonderful.
I'd love to mention a few of the specific ideas because it gives people a sense of what creative ferment was part of this project. Some of them are the kinds of things that any landscape architecture studio would come up with. Increasing connectivity, for example. There's a the southern end of 2nd Street in Hudson once was a road that went down to the waterfront, and now it's not a road, there's just a staircase. But many of the student projects proposed reopening that as an actual street. And they also, it's steep, but it's steep in San Francisco, too. People drive on that. They also addressed the redevelopment of the Kaz Warehouse, which is something that's about to happen. And in almost every proposal for what the students thought should happen to the Kaz Warehouse, they recreated, or rather replicated, a sort of fragment of the Hudson Street grid. So they not only said, let's open 2nd Street, but they also proposed creating a little grid of streets down there between Front and Cross to increase circulation and connectivity. But that kind of thing would happen in any landscape architecture studio. The kinds of things that really addressed sea level rise and flooding and stormwater are things like proposing that those new buildings that are built down on the Kaz site be elevated, perhaps with parking at the ground level so that the flooding wouldn't affect what's in them. Elevated walkways between there and other facilities like the Basilica. One proposal, or rather more than one, talked about terracing the park at the waterfront so that over time the tide could come up and inundate the lower terraces, and the upper terraces could still be used, and the terraces could even represent the projected high tides at different points in the future. So a lot of really interesting things. You know, they talked about permeable paving should be used down there, green roofs on all the new buildings as a way to absorb stormwater.
And I'd just like to add a few things about the actual process. The students are second-year graduate students, so they're very talented designers in their own right at this point. And they collected a tremendous amount of information about the city of Hudson. And it's kind of amazing to me now in the course of the semester that all of these students became really experts about Hudson and very, very familiar with the city and the issues that are related to the waterfront in the city. And they visited Hudson twice. And at each visit, they met with a variety of officials and stakeholders in the city that Jonathan was so generous in introducing us to. So they, through their interviews with folks in Hudson, they identified some key themes, including the industry at the waterfront, access and circulation being an issue at the waterfront, the ecology of the area, and the South Bay being a marsh that could possibly migrate inland as the sea level rises. That was one of the issues they looked at. Also, economic development and historic preservation and recreation and interpretation. And then as they developed their designs, there were opportunities for input from representatives of Hudson, so, and also the area. So I was involved with some of the design reviews. Jonathan was involved with some of the design reviews and other people.
I wanted to say also at the opening, to go back to that for a minute, is that Libby, if I can pronounce her last name, Zimaitis, co-creator of Cornell's CAD studio and climate resilience specialist at the Department of Environmental Conservation's Hudson River Estuary Program, is going to be speaking about the program, also with Nancy Richards, who is a leader of the Catskill Waterfront Resilience Task Force. And they're going to be talking about the CAD process. What does CAD stand for?
Climate Adaptive Design.
And also, Ellen, we just found out yesterday that Josh Serra, who is the professor, I'm a landscape architect, the other co-creator of the Climate Adaptive Design Studio, will also be here talking.
That's great.
Do you think this opens up, having designs like this, does it open up federal and state grant money?
It does present an opportunity for funding, and it also provides designs and a platform and a framework for communities to start thinking about their waterfront in a different way. One of the things that I love about these designs and the whole process is that sometimes when we think about climate change is a very threatening issue, and when we can think about the future in a positive way that envisions how we can interact with our waterways and create a more vibrant community, I think it opens up the imagination of people within the community so that we can look forward eagerly and plan and then access funding to implement those plans.
Especially right now when there's so much attention on the waterfront here in Hudson, and so many initiatives that are either happening or coalescing and about to happen, just having these concepts to look at and having them rendered in images and visualized and explained in clear text is going to really help all of us approach development on the waterfront in a way that's sensible, because if we start building down there and we're not thinking about rising tides and fiercer storms and flooding and erosion and those kinds of issues, what's the point? We're going to be building things that won't last. We can build things that will last, but only if we're thinking in terms of the real context that we live in.
And I also wanted to add, Ellen, because you mentioned that Nancy Richards was involved with the Catskill Waterfront Resilience Task Force, and what that process, and that really opened the door for Catskill to be involved with the Climate Adaptive Design Studio. So what that process is that the DEC Hudson River Estuary Program has been working with Scenic Hudson to work with particular communities on the river, communities that actually apply for this process. The communities bring together a group of stakeholders, representatives from the municipality as well as business representatives and residents, to think about their waterfront in the context of climate change and sea level rise, look at projections, sea level rise projections, and how that may impact their waterfront, and then start to come up with strategies to adapt, sometimes to relocate, but to plan for the future so the waterfront remains vibrant. We're all turning back to the river and back to our waterways, which I think is a terrific development. And if we can do that in a way that that protects both the human community's interests and the ecological community, then it's a win-win. So Catskill, Piermont, Kingston, and Stony Point are all communities who have undergone this Waterfront Resilience Task Force process. And through that, Catskill was invited to have this opportunity to work with the Cornell Landscape Architecture Program. So Hudson did not do the Waterfront Resilience Task Force, but we were so delighted that Hudson has developed your Waterfront Advisory Committee.
Well, that was my next question. Is there an effort to present this material to the Waterfront Advisory Steering Committee?
Well,
on which I should say both Ellen and I serve.
Yes, well, all of you members were invited to our first presentation, and the designs not only are up this month in the Opera House, but they also exist digitally, so anytime in the future we can provide them to you and you can look at them.
And speaking for Libby and I, if the steering committee were to invite us, we would be very, very happy to come and provide a presentation.
That's great. I think it would be very important. Don't you, Tom?
Yes, indeed. I think we have to get over this LWRP business first, though.
Yeah. That's our chore.
Yeah, that's
the committee's
chore. That's our assignment so far.
Is to see what happened to the LWRP. It was floating around someplace in Albany.
Well, importantly, the whole point of revising the LWRP and getting it approved by the state is it opens up sources of grant money.
Right.
And then we could start thinking about this great stuff. You know?
Yes, and I would mention that there were representatives from New York State Department of State at the opening on May 20th, and I think that there could be some consideration of the designs going hand in hand with your consideration of the LWRP. So
right.
They don't have
Definitely.
To be looked at as completely distinct
right.
and separate.
And how does this impact your job at the CAC and your agenda, so to speak?
Well, it, as it will for anybody who pays attention to this work of the CAD studio, it just gives us ideas for what could happen and for how to evaluate and comment on proposals that are made. For example, the proposal, the whatever we're going to see proposed for the CAS warehouse site.
In the original design, of course, they do have green roofs already, so that's one thing. And I know they're very aware of the first floor issue as well. So.
Yeah. I know that those developers are aware of this stuff, which is great. But it gives us a way to sort of compare whatever they eventually present to the city to these very thought out concepts that came from the
I just continue to wonder about the people who are currently in the floodplain and what they plan on doing. That's why I brought up the train, but there's also, you know, the LMB factory, Basilica, the Route 9G. These are all things that are just inevitably will have to be dealt with.
I think people are thinking in terms of, well, not in my lifetime, but it's every time I hear about how high the river is risen in a short period of time, it's really a serious subject, so people better pay attention.
Well, planning in general is short-sighted and generally, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know
city planning. It's hard to be, without an actual city planner, it's kind of hard to be visionary.
Tom is now the chairman of the planning board in Hudson, so.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me.
It's up to him. Anyway, so.
Again,
these ideas that the students came up with are going to be shown at the Opera House.
And the reception? Or
from
opening?
Saturday until July 4th.
Oh.
And but the opening is from 4 to 6, and there will be people there who are very involved in the project who can talk about what's going on. With
and
these.
Where is that Opera House, Ellen?
It's at 327 Warren Street in Hudson.
How come you know that?
See, I'm not the only one who is on to you.
I'm on the board. I have to confess. But, you know, it sparks the imagination. I'm sitting here, and I did not take this from any of the students' ideas. I'm thinking there should be a playground. This was how my idea started. There should be a playground on the waterfront someplace for kids, and it should have, you know, animals that they can see, creatures they can crawl on, and whales and things of that sort.
Oh, that goes along with your midnight New Year's idea. Remember?
Oh, you mean
didn't you want a neon whale?
I have a
whale?
Neon whale someplace up high that spouts water at, say, 6:30 every night, so every kid will drag their parents to take them and go to the waterfront to watch the whale spout. But
I like that idea.
In thinking about the playground, I'm thinking we need an ice skating rink. We don't have is there any place to ice skate?
Yes.
Jake,
Oakdale,
is there any place?
Oakdale.
It freezes enough to.
They designed it so that now it can freeze water there.
Is there a swimming pool any place except? Oh, you can swim at Oakdale.
Yeah.
That's right. There goes my idea. I was going to have a swimming. What is it called?
Pool.
Swimming pool. outdoor swimming pool that could then be frozen in the wintertime and be turned into an ice skating rink. There you go.
Or just wait till the water.
This isn't for swimming, but one of the students' design concepts would have a circular amphitheater set right next to the basilica that could be used for performances. But it would be the levels of the amphitheater would also correspond to future projected tide lines, and eventually it would be a pond.
A pool.
Or a pool for swimming in.
Cool.
So, sorry, we can't sell you that seat. It's underwater tonight. Anyway, anything else we need to
Sure,
hear
I just
about?
Wanted to mention that if people want to take a look at some more information about the Climate Adaptive Design Studio process, both in Hudson and in Catskill, you can visit wri.cals, that's cals.cornell.edu. So that's wri.cals.cornell.edu. And if folks
All these proposals are on there?
There's a synopsis of the process. If they'd like to actually see the designs, they should come to the Opera House. And if folks also would like to learn about some of our other work related to flooding and climate resiliency that are available to communities in the Hudson Valley, you can visit hudsonestuaryresilience.net.
Great. And if you want to know what the hours at the Opera House, you should call 822-1438.
How come you know that?
That's 822-1438.
And it's opening this Saturday at 4 o'clock.
Right. See you there.
See you there. Thanks for coming in.